is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. You're on Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. Erin Green is here sitting in for Mr. Newry. Ian Munnings is joining me this morning again. I think Mr. Newry sent Mr. Munnings here for me. I'm going to see the positive in everything. He sent you to help me out, not to hold me down on this Man Down Mashup Wednesday, where we combine the two shows. Joining me in studio today are representatives from the organization Brief. We ain't keeping it brief today, though. We have lots to talk about because we are in the middle of National Ocean Protection Week. National Ocean Protection Week in the Bahamas sits in the middle of what is recognized as Oceans Awareness Month globally, the month of June, and June 8th is World Ocean Day. As the country's reigning open water freeform floating champion, that's what you call a bubbler, Mr. Munnings. Okay. I'm a champion bubbler.
Not too many bubbles now. Then we'll have to rescue you.
Already you doubt my talent. I have perfected the form of floating, the most minimal energy, but it's not quite floating. I look like I'm floating. It's kind of like the government.
Okay, so she would definitely be rescued.
Well, I'm glad that you are aware of my skill set because you guys have a couple of events coming up, one being World Oceans Day Public Snorkel. We're going to get to that in a minute. Please introduce yourselves.
So, hi, my name is Heather Brockbank, and I'm the outreach officer at Brief, and I'm also a past best scholar.
Heather Brockbank?
Yep.
Okay, outreach. Good. When I reach out my hand because I'm tired, you will grab me. I love it.
Exactly. And my name is Crystal Darling Sargent. I'm the communications officer at Brief, the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation.
Awesome. So, let's start with National Ocean Protection Week. How did we get a National Ocean Protection Week?
So Brief, in partnership with Waterkeepers Bahamas, wrote to the Prime Minister last year for World Oceans Day to be in the Bahamas on June 8th. And this year, we've opted for an entire week that we can appreciate our oceans. So starting since June 3rd, earlier this week, up until Saturday, is all going to be celebrated as Ocean Protection Week. So this proclamation is just to bring to the awareness of the public that this month is the month that we are celebrating our oceans and to be more mindful of the effect that our oceans have in our everyday lives. Even if we can't identify it, like personally, our oceans really do affect each and every one of us in one way or another.
Yeah, and to add to what Heather said, that many people may not think that they're that connected to the oceans because they're like, well, we don't really go to the beach, but the oceans of the Bahamas have a very strong socioeconomic and cultural impact for our Bahamians. We get most of our, you know, GDP, right? Most of the money that we make in this country for tourism, it would not be the same without our oceans. Everybody who works in tourism, everyone who eats fish or any type of seafood that you get from even merely going and sitting in your car on the beach and looking out, like that's a part of, you know, being a part of the oceans or being grateful and embracing the mm-hmm. waterscapes of the Bahamas.
And you can't have pretty beaches without a healthy ocean.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yes,
you can't have pretty beaches without a healthy ocean.
And this
ocean.
Month especially, we wanted to highlight that because it's been so hot all throughout the Bahamas. We've been experiencing these heat waves. And you can imagine what underwater feels like. It is gradually getting warmer. Last mm-hmm. year, we had an underwater heat wave. And unfortunately, it's something that we expect to return this year since we've had such high heat. I think May was a record highest temperature of the hottest May yeah. on record.
So February, March, April, May broke mm. records for being the hottest mm-hmm. This year. Hopefully next year we'll see a little bit of a change, but last year was the hottest summer on record. This year is trying to beat those records. So coral bleaching is a serious issue that our oceans are facing, and corals are very, very important. You'd be like, well, we don't know what that is. You've never seen a coral.
They're
so important to us and our fisheries.
They like Erykah Badu. They're very sensitive.
Yes.
They're very sensitive and temperamental. But you can't have a Bahamas without the ocean. I want to read from this article. Prime Minister Renews Proclamation declares National Ocean Protection Week in the Bahamas from Magnetic Media. You can find the proclamation and a lovely write-up on the brief pages, brief.org. You can find it there as well. But it's great to see other media houses picking up this discussion. Kazarina Lambert McKinney, Executive Director of Brief, echoed these sentiments, saying, quote, "We thank Prime Minister Davis for his leadership in prioritizing the protection of our marine ecosystems. Brief is proud to stand alongside the government in our collective efforts to ensure the long-term health and vitality of the Bahamas' marine environment. As a nation uniquely vulnerable to climate change impacts, the Bahamas recognizes the importance of addressing these challenges head-on. By renewing the National Ocean Protection Week proclamation, Prime Minister Davis reaffirms the government's dedication to mitigating the threats posed by pollution, overfishing, and climate change. In the spirit of collaboration and environmental stewardship, our islands, our future, expresses its sincere appreciation to Prime Minister Davis and looks forward to continuing to work with his administration to protect and preserve the marine treasures that define the nation." Lovely proclamation. I want to make this point, though. If you don't believe in climate change, right? If you out here saying, man, these just some solar flares. I just run hot, and eventually I can cool down. The sun is run hot, and eventually the sun will cool down. That's natural. These are cyclical things. But some of what we will lose, we may never be able to recover. And that's the, right? So it doesn't matter what your perspective is on the issue. We know it's hot, and when it's hot, irreparable damage to our marine ecosystems.
And the heat is more intense because of the carbon emissions. So we've seen the highest rate of carbon emissions that mm-hmm. we've seen. So along with the heat, right, which is contributing to the heat, is we've seen these large amount of carbon emissions that are causing all of these global warming issues. Mm-hmm. So that is the reason why we're producing more, you know, with all the factories and travel and everything, we're producing more gases, mm-hmm. Which is causing the heat. So it's very logical, you know, like everything, it's like a ripple effect.
Absolutely, kind of the science is there and
yes,
it's available,
it's,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And as a tourist nation with scores of boats traveling through the country every year, from large cruisers to small engine dinghies to hundreds of planes flying in and over the Bahamas, as a country that relies primarily on tourism, right, we have to work extra hard to ensure that we protect the environment given the nature of the thing that we do.
Yes, 100% correct.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, to the two things I've been waiting for. How come y'all having summer camp in Elutra? I mean, I love Elutra, but I ain't in Elutra. Let's talk about the brief summer sea camp. Who can attend? What I'm saying is, can I fly to Governor's Harbor for that week? Can I send my children to Governor's Harbor for that week? They stay with friends and family. Oh, I take a camp on the beach. They're going to be sleeping outside when they come back from the island. They can practice. Can I send children from Nassau to this camp?
So we're actually having a New Providence camp. Surprise, surprise. So all of our New Providence campers who are even interested in the ocean or just want to try something new for the summer, or if you have your kids and you know that they need something to do for the summer that's really engaging and educational at the same time, then they can come to Summer Sea Camp. We host it every year. The Nassau Sea Camp is going to be held at Adastra Gardens this year. Okay. We're going to have fun activities like arts and crafts. We're going to do an intro to snorkeling so that they can be comfortable in the water.
I need some high-level courses. I'm a sign language expert. I speak pigeon, I speak dolphin, curly-tailed lizard, all kind of thing. I need to learn how to speak lionfish. Y'all can teach me how to speak lionfish at this camp?
Maybe Heather can. Heather is a fish ID expert, actually. She knows all the fish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to be probably, teaching them.
So she's on her way there. She doesn't already know. So Heather's the person to talk to about that.
Yep.
Absolutely. I know plenty of fishermen. Y'all think I'm joking. I know plenty of fishermen who say they've been in the ocean and they look the shark in the face. Mm-hmm. And they tell the shark, between me and you, you better go home. And the shark left. I'm just saying, I know y'all, we could talk to fishes. Camp in Nassau, camp in Eleuthera.
We're having three, actually. So New Providence, Eleuthera, and Andrus.
What?
So we have applications open on all those islands.
Okay.
Registration for the Eleuthera one is available at the Haynes Library. And the registration for the Andrus camp is available at, once we contact Kamalami. So it would be reno@kamalami.com. And then the registration forms are on our website, and
Kamalami with a K, right?
Yep. And it includes all this information, so you don't have to worry about remembering it. You can just go on brief.org, which is our website, and we have all the information for all three of our camps right there.
All right. Yeah. Summer camp.
Is the camp free?
So in New Providence, it's a fee of $125, but okay, in Eleuthera and Andrus, it's free to...
Right. Now, I'm going to see my Grammy for the summer. I always, in the summer, I's an Andrusian. In the school time, I's an Nassauvian. If I'm resident in Andrus for the summer, I can come in.
Yeah, we have a lot of campers that are just coming over to the island for the summer that engage with these summer camps.
This is, okay.
We have an age limit, though.
Yes, so it's only 8 to 14 years old, unfortunately. So
that's 8 times 14.
Too old. How many people have to be, do you have a stopping point in regards to...
Yeah, how many people do you...
So we take 30 kids per camp. So okay, it's first come, first serve with the application process. And these do go fast. So I would encourage people to sign up quickly so that your camper can hold their spot in the camp.
All right. What do I need to bring? How do I prepare my kid every day to come to camp?
So, yeah, we encourage them to bring a reusable water bottle because we provide water for them. And we really want to reduce plastic waste at our campus as well.
Good stuff.
We encourage them to bring a snack. We provide lunch for them. And then they just have to bring a towel and a dry change of clothes and come with their swimsuit underneath.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We good provide stuff. The snorkel gear.
All right. Wow. Now, sunscreen.
Sunscreen.
On the flyer, I saw ocean.
Reef safe.
Reef safe,
reef
right.
Safe sunscreen, yes. So we really do suggest mineral sunscreen. It's sold at any pharmacy that sells regular sunscreen, but that one is less harsh on the reefs. Mm-hmm. And there's also a certain chemical that you can look up and look for in sunscreen you may already have to make sure that it's reef safe as well.
Yeah, right. It usually has a logo on the front saying reef safe.
Yep.
So absolutely, that's a good way to identify it.
I mean, that little space right there, we stick a pin for a second. This has to get to the level of national conversation. It's an economy. It's a catch-22, or we're between a rock and a hard place. We sell tourism. We sell sun, sand, and sea to people who don't have sun, sand, and sea. People who don't have sun, sand, and sea need lots of sun protection when they come to enjoy the sun, sand, and sea. A lot of the sun protection actually damages the sand and the sea part. Mm-hmm. So to protect yourself from the sun, you could be inadvertently damaging the sand and the sea. And so we have to have a conversation for the future about how we balance tourism and the environment, because we believe that the environment belongs to tourism. Mm-hmm. But tourism won't be possible without the environment.
Yeah, that's why ecotourism coming up and rising is really important, because it allows people to appreciate the environment that they're in when they're on vacation.
Absolutely. Dates now. Dates for the summer camp.
So dates are going to be June 24th through 28th for the New Providence summer camp.
Okay.
The Eleuther camp is going to be the 15th of July to the 8th. And then the Kamalami or Andrus camp is going to be from the 29th of July to the 31st.
Right.
And
like
these
that.
Are the Nassau camp is going to be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. And then the Eleuther and Andrus camps are going to be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay.
My question is, do you guys have a website in regards to explaining to the tourists or like a native in regards to, like how you said, the sunscreen, all those particular things that when you're coming to the Bahamas and we want to protect the reef and the sand, and this is a particular brand that you can use that'll be friendly to the waters, the sand, kids know what to use.
Absolutely, but this could work. Ministry of Tourism, cruise industry, resorts. Mm-hmm. We need you to provide a space on your portal, on your website for the environmentalists so they can prepare tourists when they come, right?
Yeah.
It's a shock when you get here. Imagine you get in and you find out you can't use the thing that you brought.
Right.
Yeah.
But in preparation for the trip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, our website has a lot of marine resources. We also give out our fishery regulations cards to a lot of marinas. So if people come in on their private boat, if they want to go fishing in the Bahamas. And we also have a lot of signage on conservation, not sunscreen particularly, but conservation in a lot of the airports throughout the Bahamas. We just saw an image of the Mayaguana Airport, actually, and the
marine
left was
on the
brief poster.
The marine,
only thing was a brief poster.
There's a marine ecosystem in the Mayaguana Airport, if you all didn't realize. Yes,
we've
about
seen it.
3 inches. Anyway, I was just thinking of my friend Leo the Lionfish, and I think Leo the Lionfish, Ian, would make a great tourism and ecotourism ambassador, right? Because Leo, no, listen, you smiling at me.
Because we, see.
Like,
see,
you know Leo.
But Leo, the lionfish,
we encourage
is,
people to eat
is
Leo.
No, right. No, Leo, the lionfish is an invasive species.
But this is
so
why.
He's the enemy.
I don't know if
we want to be, you know, putting him up out there.
Don't tell
now
Leo.
Now, we have the turtle.
And Shark Stanley.
Yes.
You have Thomas the Turtle and
we
Stanley
have,
the Shark.
Yes.
You know them?
You know
the
question I want to ask? I want to ask in regards to the pirate fish.
Tubby
I see
turtle.
Persons
Tubby.
Catching Tubby the pirate fish, and then I understand through reading.
Let me talk about the pirate fish as well.
We can group with lionfish.
And because that's what we need
yes,
to do.
Please
but here's
do.
What I'm saying. See, Leo could resonate with tourists because Leo ain't from here either. So that's why, like, Leo, he's not from here.
Oh, I see the vision.
Either.
I see what you're saying.
Right?
But we can eat you.
And Leo can say, listen, you may not trust these humans, but trust me. I live with these fish. I know what's going on. Parrotfish. Now, I know we didn't really come to talk about parrotfish, but.
Oh, we love them.
In the water alive.
Yep.
Yes.
In the water alive.
And here's why you need to love pirate fish. If you like me and you don't like to clean, like I have a Roomba because I don't like to, right? The Roombas do the cleaning. A pirate fish is like a Roomba of the ocean.
Yep.
All they do is clean. You need to leave them in there to do the work that you don't want to do in the ocean.
But should we not put a ban that you can't catch pirate fish because it's good for the reef?
We should. They are the best algae cleaners for all of our corals. So they protect our oceans. They keep our corals clean. And that's why they have those beaks and they're called parrotfish because they chomp away at all the algae on the reefs. And people see a big, juicy fish because parrotfish can get to catch it. But if they were educated on the importance of parrotfish, which is what we're trying
ocean.
To do, educate everybody on.
They keep our reefs
our
healthy.
Right. No, absolutely.
And our reefs are struggling.
Yeah.
The climate, right?
Yeah.
So we need as much parrotfish out there to do their thing while we fight against. They're helping us in the fight against climate change.
No, absolutely. And we're gonna work off this tension, people, the meat eaters versus the non-meat eaters. We can work off the tension because I still have a rule, and my rule is if something bite me, I have to bite it back.
Oh, wow.
If something bite me, my daddy told me that. He said, the dog bites you? Bite the dog back.
Well, unless you're a coral, I don't think you'll have that problem.
I hope not, because the beak is hard, hard, hard. Okay. World Oceans Day, public snorkel.
Yeah, so that's the one that you can attend.
Thank you.
That's it.
I see the thing
that's
say A+.
Everyone.
Plus.
Yeah,
yeah, I see the thing
everyone.
Say A+. Plus.
So from 8 to 80 or 90.
Inner shark in the water.
Well, let's find out. Where are we snorkeling?
So we're going to be snorkeling on the beach right across from Sapodilla Restaurant on West Bay Street. It's called Sea Beach Promenade.
That's what that area is called. Beach Promenade.
A lot of people call it the Daiquiri Shack because that's where the Daiquiri Shack is.
On the bend right there. Okay.
So if you can remember it by that, you can use that, or you can just look up Sea Beach Promenade on Google Maps.
Okay, good stuff. Opposite, if you use Sapodilla as a reference point.
Just go across the street. Yep.
Okay, we ain't catching nothing. We just snorkeling, right?
Yep. No, we just snorkeling.
Good stuff. Good stuff. I
enjoying our beautiful reefs, Bahamian ocean.
Is reef there?
Reefs, yeah.
Yeah.
So sure. Then, lobsters there then?
Yeah, of course.
Lobster season closing.
We're not going to catch them, of course. We're going to observe.
We're going to snorkel and enjoy.
Now, Ian, they're going to say that I told
appreciate
you.
Appreciate the coral reefs.
They're going to say that I told you to say that because I've been trying to adopt a lobster from Agribusiness Expo. I have a beautiful business. I mean, not business. I ain't selling it. I cannot protect the entire ocean by myself. My skiff is too small. But I could keep two lobsters safe at home for the entirety of the lobster season. I could vouch for the safety. At the end of the season, I will release them back into the ocean.
Do you trust yourself?
No.
I don't, and that's the answer.
And I got a text here saying, that's a no-no.
If you come from the H and the T, Haitian Times, I don't think you can.
Don't trust me, eh? Listen, let's get to some texts for a second. Sooner or later, Bahamians in Nassau wouldn't be able to park on any beaches to look at the sea and catch cool breeze. New Providence, like all the Bahama Islands, are surrounded by sea, yet they are barely accessible by the people, especially with a vehicle. Drive around Nassau and take note of how many good sandy beaches are available to Bahamians. Very few, and what is available are mostly rocky. We have to picnic from our cars.
Yeah. So this is a conversation I think that we need to have seriously, like moving forward, right? When we talk about sustainable tourism, right?
Yes.
Ecotourism. We are concerned about the cruise ship and the ships and the pollution that they bring, you know, mm-hmm. the tourists. And you mentioned the, you know, so many people going into the water and sometimes they go and they damage the reefs or, you know, break it off and take souvenirs back home from the ocean. That's not any of those things. So the person has a very good point that they bring up because there are a lot of marinas being built. There are a lot of, and we're not against the construction and development at all, mm-hmm. but it has to be sustainable. It has to be done in a way where everyone can still be able to
access,
experience it,
including
Bahamians.
Yeah. And when we think about New Providence, we only have so much surface area in this tiny little island. And so when you think about hotels and marinas or people, even people who just want a beachfront property, those people will prioritize taking those good beaches that we call good beaches, no rocks. And unfortunately, we're left with what's left.
Absolutely.
My question is, what about the waste that the cruise liners would normally have on board? What happens to that?
So there has been some, in the past, there have been some
give me 1 second, caller. Yeah. No, go on.
Oh,
give me 1 second,
where,
caller.
The cruise ships have been fined for dumping in the, mm-hmm. in the, well, in Nassau, in the ocean. So that is an issue. And it's just something that we, I guess, have to continue to look after and monitor.
Well, let's get back.
Continuously happen yeah. because it has been a problem, and also the, like I said, gas pollution from
right the emissions.
Yeah, the emissions.
But let's get back to that after this caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, my fellow Foxilian friend.
Morning.
How you doing?
Delia, slow down, you ain't going.
No, right? You ever passed on this beach before, people swimming, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you ever see people fishing in the middle of people swimming?
Listen, I see them fishing on Montague Beach.
I guarantee you won't see it on Sanders Beach.
I'm
telling you, I see the people swimming, right?
Yeah.
A person throwing a line right in the middle of people swimming.
Yeah.
Then you wonder why you get bite from shark.
Yeah, it's a huge problem. And I don't understand the lack of spatial awareness and the lack of critical thinking. First of all, they put all them dovetail in the water, not for you to have a perch to fish from, but to protect the shoreline, right? Mm-hmm. The second thing is, why would you fish while humans are in the water? And why would you think that because you were there first that nobody's supposed to go in the water because they see you fishing? Because here's what the thing is, it's against the law. You can't fish there. You can't just, like, fish there. Don't fish there.
But guess what? The second thing, too, right?
Yes, sir.
Man, how them cruise ship, they doing the number two inside our water. You won't believe that's why people getting sick from the fish. Because the fish and all the sea life, they contaminated. They go eat the number two. Then you go eat the fish. Then what you think you're eating?
Well, let's talk to the environmentalists and see if there's any research available that could confirm that that's happening or that could give us a better sense of what is happening?
Remember when they had the kung poisoning going on?
Well, right.
People, right, you know what's going on.
Right, so that's a specific issue with, thank you, that's a very important point. We can talk about that in a second.
Because I won't eat no number two.
I with you. I am with you the way that my insurance is set up. I cannot afford to die at this time.
Yeah, so we're not. I'm unfamiliar with that. I can't confirm that.
So there was concern that the sewage and waste treatment plant.
Yes, now I remember that.
On Bay Street, East Bay Street foreshore,
mm-hmm.
near to
Potter's
Key, right, caused.
The Kung poisoning.
Kung
and all
poisoning.
That. Yeah, I remember that whole thing that happened.
Yeah,
several
sewage
years
debacle
ago.
Down.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm not. Yeah. Like 100% familiar with that whole story.
Right.
So in regards to his first point about the person fishing near the beach, I do agree that it is very dangerous,
mm-hmm.
especially when there are people in the water around you. But I also wanted to note the jet ski community and how close that they also drive their jet skis to people that are swimming in the water. They come right up to the shore
mm-hmm.
and just glide right past people who are in the water without any regard for their safety.
Yeah.
Or how close they are to them.
And mm-hmm. so most beaches have a swim line, right?
Yes.
So if you see the swim line, which is like those little white
the
balls.
Buoy,
trees,
yes, the
yeah,
buoy.
Floating around, right? They're not supposed to be
inside that.
So if you're on a jet ski, you're not supposed to be over that. And people, that's an area where people can swim. It's a swim line, right?
Yes.
So that's so far. So if you're on a jet ski or if you're going to drive a jet ski, we just want people to be aware of that. Because this is the summer months. A lot of people are going to be in the water. Bahamians, tourists, everyone. We don't need any incidents. And I know, I could recall in the past where there were some incidents where people did get hit from jet skis or, you know, vice
yeah.
versa.
Absolutely. And in the earlier hour, I put a question to the audience, right? Of the 9 million tourists coming to shore, are you feeling a positive or a negative impact, right, from their presence? And I think in one space where we do have a negative impact is that the Bahamian is decentered, right, in their spaces. So jet ski operators, they are making the tourist dollar. And why are you blocking me, right? They're saying to me, the beach user, you don't want me to live, eh? You don't want me to eat, eh? You could afford to come to the beach in the middle of the day, but I have to work.
Mm-hmm.
Access to the beach and beach spaces, because mm-hmm. tourists are by the dray load being brought to the beach,
yeah.
right? So there are positives and negatives. We need systems to ensure that people could extract as much positive as possible and we could, you know, minimize and eradicate, if possible, the negative. But this is one part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that charters who are unable to access marina space to embark and disembark passengers like to use Montague as well. I find that their practice is good, right? They're not a threat, but there is a presence, right, that mm-hmm. impacts my access
yeah.
to the beach. And all of these things have to be considered, and we need to work together to bring balance, but not just for one moment. Constantly working together to ensure balance as dynamics change on every side. Because I hope humans understand that when you lose a species, it's gone forever.
Yep.
And I don't know anybody here who have a DNA seed bank.
There's none.
Right? For Bahamian species, I don't know if any DNA of Bahamian species has been collected and stored in any local, regional, or international
labs.
Yeah.
Seed bank.
Oh,
right?
And then research is also very limited
yeah, but
as well.
Yes.
Wow.
Obviously, we don't want to get to that point where
right.
we need to...
Yeah.
source from artificially edited genetics or different things like that. And so when it comes to sustainability, we're not just saying it because we are looking out for the future. We don't adhere
yeah.
to fishery regulations, change the ways we consume fish, and really be mindful not only of how much money we're going to make as fishermen or people who catch fish or anything in the water, but also be mindful of how sustainable you are, not just how much you can bring at a time, but how much is a good amount to ensure that I leave enough for me to go out next week, next month, next year, or for my children to take over my business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just thinking about the now, it's thinking about the future.
Except for lionfish. We could fish out lionfish. Let us try out the lionfish.
I think that many people will have the opinion that the waters can't be fished out. You can't fish out the waters because if God made it, you can't fish it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you may fish out a particular species, but regards to for the world, I mean, like...
Yeah, but it's possible.
I mean, it's possible. I don't know if it's possible. That's like saying that there'll be no more fruit trees and so forth.
But I tell you what, I'm gonna.
Not true. So there are some species that live in certain areas. So for example, if you look at the Bahama parrot, right? That is a species that is unique, or the hutia, right?
Mm-hmm.
These are unique to the Bahamas, right? They can go extinct. We've had things that have gone extinct before, and we've never seen them again. So that does
happen. It's a possibility. In fact,
it's very possible, especially if they only live in this one area, and then you introduce other threats to that, right? And they may be human, or they may just be natural.
Predators.
Issues, threats, but that does happen, but we don't want to be a part. We want people to be conscious. So this World Oceans Day, we're calling for people to take climate action and to start with the changes that we can make on an individual level, mm-hmm. and then on a community level, thinking about our consumption and like sustainability, sustainable consumption, like what...
Should we not join that with the ecosystem in regards to our green spaces and so forth? Because we've been watching that, you know, most of these things coexist together in regards to the ocean and the land.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think so. There should be balance. I was very concerned with the Andrus fires in particular. Right, very concerned that there was not enough public spotlight. I hadn't heard any terrestrial environmental groups. I think I heard a word from Sam Duncan expressing concern for the potential loss of species, loss of biodiversity
due to the fire.
In the uncontrolled, uncontained fire. It burned for over a month. Right, in northern Andrus. The chamber president said it was wild, it was like the fire was running underground, which means that there may be species undiscovered that are at risk of eradication because of this fire. But let me stick a pin and go to this call, and then we're going to get back, because we haven't talked about the sculpture garden yet, either, and
yes, the 10th anniversary.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? All right. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. It's been a while, eh?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Just two things. I want to speak about as it relates to when a species goes extinct. Keep in mind that Florida's had a ban on a moratorium on harvesting corn for the past 30-plus years. And you have to see a bounce back from that species. Once a species is gone, it's gone for good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as it relates to the forest fires in Andrews and Abigail, you always have to remember that these are pine islands. As pine is a fire-dependent species, those systems are supposed to burn. The issue is that we have followed all of us really going out to those areas and actually don't prescribe burning. And that's the issue as it relates to those fires. So when you speak about those systems that are supposed to burn, those species have already adapted to move out or move away.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I think Heather mentioned something about the Abaco parrot. The Abaco parrot does that in Abaco. It adapted from nesting in the trees because of forest fires, they started to nest in the ground. So I just wanted to give a standpoint as it relates to that specific discussion.
Okay. You did any research on the Chicchani? I need to know if my Chicchanis are safe in the bush.
They are long gone, except for discrete parts of Andrus.
Man, look how we can't be... Okay, good. You said some distinct parts of Andrus, right?
What about the Gaulin?
What about the Gaulin?
That's a scud, y'all. In question.
Okay. All right. Just be careful. Don't marry one, okay? That's what I do. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for calling in. And call back if any part of the conversation prompts you to share with us. Thank you, sir. Okay, so we have the brief summer sea camps, one in Nassau, one in Eleuthera, one in Andrus. We're starting 24th and 28th of June?
June, yes.
In New Providence. Mm-hmm. 15th and 18th of July in Eleuthera, and 29th through 31st in Andrus. Then we have World Oceans Day public snorkel, which is taking place this Saturday, the day after Labor Day. And we're going to be at Sea Beach Promenade, which is the area opposite Sapodilla on the hill, heading out west. And that starts at 9 a.m.?
Yep.
9 to 12. Now, what do I need to bring? I need to bring snorkel. You have snorkel for me?
Yep, we provide all the snorkel gear. You just have to bring yourself, family, friends, and your reusable water bottle, because right. We also provide water there as well.
A yes, towel.
And we say sunscreen as well.
A towel and a big hat to protect you from the sun while you're out there.
Yes.
Good stuff. Now, Brief Sculpture Garden marks a decade of coral reef restoration. I found this wonderful article on the Brief website. It's a full website, right? They yes. also have news posts, a lot of media, sharing media amongst their partners as well. In celebration of Earth Day, the Bahamas Reef Environment Educational Foundation, Brief, proudly commemorates the 10th anniversary of the Sir Nicholas Nuttall Coral Reef Sculpture Garden and Coral Nursery. As a testament to a decade of unwavering commitment to marine conservation and environmental stewardship. The garden was established in 2014, and it is the brainchild of Bahamian artist Willacy Tynes.
Yes.
That's my cousin. Oh. Morning, cousin. The CRSG was brought to life through a collaboration with renowned sculptors Jason DeCaris Taylor and Andra John. Good morning, everybody. Three breathtaking sculptures, Ocean Atlas, produced by Taylor, Virtuoso Man, produced by Tynes, and Lucayan Face, produced by John, Andret John, now grace the ocean floor, alongside 66 reef balls, each providing structure to help sustain the rich biodiversity of the area.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. Out there, we have a nursery that you spoke on, which are our coral trees, where we basically grow our corals out in the ocean. So we are currently growing an endangered species of coral, which is the staghorn coral. But luckily, it's also the fastest growing coral. So it's a branching coral, so it can help build reef structure. So when we think about reef structure, we think about a home for the fish and a place that they can feed, live, and basically just inhabit, and we populate the corals from that tree onto our reef nearby, which is called Nari Nari, which is also located in the same area as our sculpture garden. And over in that area, we've seen much improvement over the years as we've been outplanting. We've seen increases in reef health, and we also are partnering with the Reef Rescue Network to help maintain those trees.
Hold on, what do you mean? I still stuck on planting trees underwater.
I'm blown away. That's why I'm just
where y'all learn to do
that. Yeah, I'm just blown away.
So our coral trees, the corals are the animals. We want to make sure that people know corals are animals. They're sensitive to everything in the water. So that's why when we speak about underwater heat waves, our corals, because they're really sensitive.
Okay, let's go back there. Right.
So think about when you don't water your grass in the summer. What happens? Yeah.
But
similar.
Coral is an animal.
Yes. So
it's the fauna. It's fauna, not flora.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So my question is, do they thrive better in the summer or wintertime? I mean, you're saying that you plant them, so I'm figuring out that during a certain time, would you plant them?
So winter is peak winter for sure, planting season as well.
We try not to mess with our corals during the summer because they're stressed. It's hot. Nobody likes to be in the heat. So our corals are stressed in the summer, so we just don't touch them. Corals get really easily stressed. Even in the outplanting process, it's an entire certification that you have to receive in order to not overstress these corals in the process.
So you can actually go to an institution here to be trained to do that?
So we actually do the certification training. It's called the Reef Rescue Certification, and it certifies you to clean coral trees as well as learn the outplanting process of microfragmenting those corals, which is kind of taking a clipping, sort of shearing a bush, and taking those clippings that are live clippings that can then sustain themselves out on a reef once we use our marine epoxy to settle them onto a place that we choose.
Is there a cost to this certification? And if there is, how can somebody that is listening in who is interested into the marine life can get in contact to be registered?
All right. So there is a prerequisite for this course, which is having your open water dive certification, because it is a diving specialty course. And so you do have that and you're interested, you can go on our website and it has all the information on how you can start that process. We are currently now working with someone who specializes in this course. So you can look on our website for information and you can email brief@brief.org with a request to do that certification course.
Yes, yeah. So that's B-R-E-E-F.
B-R-E-E-F.
We planted in the winter.
No, I know. Listen.
We planted in the winter.
I already have my open water floating, but I don't have my open water dive certification.
It's never too late.
We're working on it. I have a text ahead that said, listen, Coral can be stressed. They don't pay property tax.
They don't pay taxes on Grand Basket.
But they do get taxed. They don't pay taxes, but they get taxed. And that's what it is, the changing ocean environment, the increase in temperature in particular is very taxing on this animal. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Somebody says, listen, lobster's a sea roach. Ian, don't feel bad not eating it. I mean, technically, that's what it is.
I still love it. But it's close.
I don't eat it at all.
No, I don't eat it. People are like, you don't eat lobster?
Do you not eat it because you stalled of it? Let me go to this phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning to your guest.
Morning.
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting conversation. The gentleman who had called and talked about the fecal matter or coliforms found in seawater.
Yes.
This is nothing new. Years ago, I had read it. Australia was having a problem with its coastal regions. And so, like, we are in a marine environment, like Mr. Sawyer or Munning said, right? So the fact that we haven't done these studies, but scientists were always intrigued by the abiotic factors that influence the coliform lifespan within the environment, within the seawater.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have whales. You see how big a whale is, right?
Yep.
So you can imagine the amount of poops that he lets out, but he actually feeds the zooplankton, so it's an ecosystem that God has made.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when it comes to the guy was talking about the cruise ship, et cetera, remember now, the gray water is beyond fecal matter. It's actually mixed up with all type of stuff in there, and then we see where they use obfuscation, in which they would use cubic feet to say what they dump in the water. But the other day, they said 39 cubic feet, and when I did the calculation, it was like, they made it look like it was a little bit of water, but it was actually about 900 gallons, okay?
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, in other words, we need to do the studies to show how long these fecal matter last as it relates to the abiotic or the environmental factors within the water.
Mm-hmm.
We know that if we find dioxin, lead, mercury, cadmium, and all these other nickel, all these other contaminants that are in seawater, we find these in our sea creatures, right? That is what is most important. But the scientists haven't mastered the art of really seeing how long fecal matter exists, but they do bacterial count. I work around water reverse osmosis from the 80s and for almost 2 decades, and I was well versed in it, all right? The fact that we would check water for bacterial count, so you will measure the amount of bacteria in a given amount of water,
mm-hmm.
and then if the bacteria multiplies, then it becomes a problem. Your bacteria is in the water, but with water being stagnant, et cetera, like you saw the gentleman, he mentioned the situation at Portiski Dock, and the situation by the Betty K. Park. You can smell the stench, but lo and behold, I'll tell you, a whistleblower from Waterworks told me funnel into the ground, and they don't have a proper system to really digest and get rid of this fecal matter. That's why you're always smelling it, and that's why it's always in the harbor. And then you have some of those old homes. I'm not guessing this. Some of those old homes, their pipes run straight into Portiski.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have the water being impeded through the trough system, like if it slows down, then you have bacteria multiply faster, but you cannot be of the naive, very blind notion that bacteria don't multiply in salt water when some bacteria actually thrive in salt water. So it's not the fact that it's the bacteria. I'm speaking, bacteria exists, right? But I'm talking about enteric, you know, it comes from the intestines,
mm-hmm.
fecal. And so if a human is sick, then obviously the concentration is of great concern because there's a lady on too, she was telling you Paradise Island was doing this for a while, but nobody was paying attention to it. But so what we could do is we could test our coastal water for bacterial coliform, bacterial count-wise, and then we would know what is what instead of guessing. But we are in a marine environment, but we haven't lead the world in marine studies.
Absolutely.
It's frightening for me. This is nothing new. You know, this is something that should be done because we didn't poison the barracuda, you know. I mean,
exactly.
We, like the caller said,
yep.
We know where the ecosystem is. But the fact that we don't value ourselves in concentrating on things that matter because we are unconscious of it. And the fact that in chemistry, there's something called persistent organic pollutants. So what that simply means is when you choke something away, it doesn't mean it goes away. It's just what it turns into. Bless up.
Like, thank you, 52. Man, I agree with 52. We go into a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to expound more on how we need to center the environment in our daily lives. We need to figure out some partnerships so we can have daily talk shows. Because sun, sand, and sea is the center of our lives. We're going to a break. When we get back from the break, more Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Hopefully he can call me from wherever he is. I have a feeling he and Long Island are disregarda. I don't know.
He's a boatman.
A seaman. His work is on the water. Free diving, throwing out line is how he's surviving. We'll be right back.
Try the rest, roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
My work is on the water. Free diving, so no line is how I survive. Listen, from foggy to yellow tail, from jackfish to killer whale, I jump in my dinghy boat and I head on down the coast. I need a fish to bite. My kids gotta eat tonight, so I do what I gotta do. Take some fish back for them to stew. I've been in the sea long and I was born strong.
Thank you, producer. I'm going to let the song play the whole way. This is one of the sweetest new songs. Man, KB, where you been? But we glad you're back. I hear you've been Cuba. At least that's the name of your new album. We all excited to hear more and more and more from you. KB and Stalit. Y'all gay bring, listen, we need a whole dirty rake. That's in Agua Rake and Scrape. We need a whole dirty rake concert. Stalit, Avi. All them boy down there from...
Gino D
from... He from Inagua too?
Oh, you know.
No, just Gino D is a senior man to me. I mean, you know, he's a senior man to me. Gino D. Anyway, I wish I was in Long Island. If I tell y'all, I have a friend in Long Island, I tell my friend, you take that phone out of that field, and I want every sheep to hear my voice. I come into Long Island, I want rodeo... A sheep. I don't know why y'all ain't rodeoing down in Long Island. Y'all got all these churin and all these sheep. I would see some churin riding sheep, man.
You know, the people say, you're not from Auckland.
We don't know. I'll eat goat then. I'll ride me a mutton. I could rodeo a mutton. You don't think I could rodeo a mutton?
Well, you know, Long Islanders are saying, well, but Bella, you got the pretty eye, but Bella, you ain't from here.
Good morning. Long Island, the whole of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas is celebrating Long Island Regatta with you. And the conversation today is about regatta too. It's about ocean health, mm-hmm. right?
And with sailing as our national sport now, that's a big deal.
Right.
And so it ties into the whole, I remember, social, economic, and cultural component of celebrating our oceans this week and this month.
Absolutely. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
With you. You know, it's hysterical. We do some things that only rich people can do in this country. We don't pump our own gas like Americans have to. We don't put grocery in bag like they have to. We don't take it to the car like they have to. And we can buy sheep, mutton, all the way from New Zealand on the other side of the world instead of growing it there in Long Island. And I'm speaking to this because you want rodeo one sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sheep take some maintenance. They take some maintenance and they have some issues. But feral goat, mutton, you just throw them in the bush. And let me tell you, they'll eat jambé. They'll even eat the label off of one of them Campbell soup cans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had Bumpy Watkins tell me, you eat whatever that goat eats, and you'll be healthy as that goat. You know, moringa, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very sad because we have a lot of problems with maintaining yards in the Bahamas, and we import labor to do so. What I recommend is we take these islands and we solarize them, putting the solar on the ground nice and low. You know those solar fields? And put some feral goat underneath them to keep the weeds at bay, eaten. So, and you got your food. Man, that's almost as good as that wash your fresh, you clean your tank.
So Graham.
Know, it's very sad you're more heads of people than heads of cattle.
So Graham, instead of buying a dog, we should buy a goat.
Yes.
Well, not if you're gonna chain him and leave him without any water in the yard. You know, it was a good show they had the other day. But yes, you should buy a goat and give him water and let him eat all the weed in your yard, and then he will provide you food at the end of the day.
I mean, he'll provide you compost for your garden where you grow in your food. Don't, you can't talk
and
about
you will
eating.
Have and of course, you will take the offspring, and the cycle repeats itself.
Yeah, but you can't, listen, just remember, you can't call the goat curry and then eat the goat.
Oh, wow.
Just,
well,
what are you eating? Curry goat.
I wouldn't name my goat curry, I can tell you that.
Thank you so much, Graham.
You have a good one.
Absolutely. Thank you very, very much. I want a goat.
I ain't going to buy one
except,
of them.
No,
I bloody bush around here.
It's a problem. You think we have a problem now? Wait until goats and pot cakes form an alliance. Wait until goats and pot cakes realize that they better off waking together.
We already have some pot cakes who can fish. I've seen the videos of them dogs diving for conks.
Hold on, you're saying we have a diving pot cakes now?
I know what I see
if,
a pot cake.
If you see pot cakes on the island,
I watch a pot cake
in the water.
I watch a pot cake clear the harbor. Here's what I mean. The boat is coming in, the shark is coming in at the same time. This pot cake say, boss, you cannot see. I waken, I trying to impress these tourists. The pot cake jump in the water and look at the shark and say, I tell you, don't come back here until after 7 p.m. He run the shark out the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw this. Now, Heather, this is you. We see this video with this fish speeding through the water. I mean, I thought the video was sped up. You realize that it's at normal speed.
Mm-hmm.
What you said it was? You said it was a shark?
I thought it was a shark.
I thought it was a tuna. I heard people say it was a tuna. They said it wasn't even a shark. It's fast. It's just zipping. Do we get those big tuna in Bahamian waters?
I mean, nearer to the shore, it's probably most likely a barracuda.
But that was
oh, it wasn't. I mean, I know a barracuda.
It was too broad.
It was too broad for barracuda.
Yeah. I'd have to see the video, but probably, yeah.
And then
but
I saw
not that close to the shore, no.
Then I saw another video looking at something I've never seen in my life.
How broad of a barracuda? Like, what's the broadest, biggest barracuda you've ever seen or noted?
Gosh, I don't go by broad. I go by length.
Oh, I've seen long barracudas.
Yeah. I've had some big ones with the meanest stank face on them, and I just try to stay away from them. But at our sculpture garden, we have barracudas that are like 4 feet, four and a half feet long.
Well, I've seen them bigger than that.
And they're really chunky.
Four feet ain't nothing.
If they come from Inagua, then they're good. You know, in Nassau Pawn thing, they get them and they're good.
Did you all see the video of the man sparing fish in the channel?
Yeah.
Do you know how they fish in Inagua? They use spears.
That was very impressed with the video I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people can't do that. Like, even fishing with a line is difficult for some people.
Absolutely.
Do the bluefish tuna be in our waters in the Bahamas, whether it's south or the New Providence or so forth? Where are they located if they're here?
I can't confirm which tuna, but I do know that in the pelagic or the open ocean, the really deep zones, we do have a few tuna. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
But not anything close to shore.
All right.
But it's in the ocean.
Yeah.
We are almost out of time. Let's give people contact information so they can find more details about the three summer camps taking place this summer and World Ocean Public Snorkel on Saturday the 8th.
Pages, which is Brief242 on all platforms. Our website is www.brief.org, and you can email Brief, B-R-E-E-F, at brief.org if you have any questions.
Absolutely.
Summer camp in Andres, summer camp
in Eleuthera, summer camp in New Providence. Snorkel this Saturday at the beach opposite Sapodilla. Bring your towel, bring your little your dictionary. I have one. I could interpret all these fish, what they say, and I will be there.
They got you water and Aaron Ganga. Look for the lobster.
After the HHT jumble sale, I may not be there. I have to go talk to some other fish in my family. You guys have a great day. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry signing off. See you tomorrow.